I won't hold you long. We are going to be talking about living in an Acts 17 world on Wednesday nights in our devotional studies. And I'm tasked with the responsibility of knowing the world that you're in today. And a couple questions that I had as I was thinking, and I'm always trying to think about myself, is, Mike, are you paying attention to the world around you? Are you truly paying attention to the sin and the evil that's trying to trap you? Are you being caught off guard? Are you using God's word to actually guide your path, or are you leaning to your own understanding? These are questions that I ask myself because I understand that we live in a world today that is, well, it's full of opinions, full of ideas, and everyone believes that they're okay and right. But we ask ourselves another question: how do we get out of here? How do we escape these things that we are around every day? And Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 10, there's no way out of here. The only way out of here is through death, and if Jesus Christ comes back, you would have to leave this world not to be surrounded by those who are not thinking properly. But God teaches us how to live in this world. And so the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times, 1 Chronicles 12:32, and what Israel ought to do. They understood the world that was around them, if you will. But it requires us paying attention. It requires us keeping up with the world that's around us. And so if you will, turn to Acts 17. I won't hold you long. But there are a few things that I believe that I need to say and want to say and believe I do have something to say. Because in Acts 17, in verse number 16, Paul, he saw the world for what it was where he was in Athens. And he said that the city was filled with idols and idolatry. So he didn't go into this situation saying, okay, these are a bunch of Christians and they're worshiping the one true living God. No, there's a bunch of idolaters here. So he had his mind on the right things. But if you drop down to verse 21, notice, we see that these individuals gave themselves over to hearing and speaking new things all the time. That's where we are even today. I mean, people are looking for something new, something good, some type of gadget and gadget to kind of, well, tickle their ears. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. We see that even today. And Paul was dealing with this. And he was so stirred up within himself that when he saw all of the idols, it made him upset. It aggravated him, stirred him up. But if you look at verse 22, I know the New King James renders very religious. The King James renders it very stupid, superstitious people. We have that even amongst us today. People who are, they call themselves religious or they're very superstitious. They read their zodiac signs and they're all over the place. Well, I mean, it has to be this way. It's a sign. I mean, we see that even today. And sometimes you even hear Christians talking like that. Well, it has to be a sign. I mean, notice what's happening. But Paul says, Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious or superstitious, for I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. And so how did Paul handle this? Paul, if I could say it this way, he went to the Word of God to handle it. He started to do something that's just so powerful, if you will. Number one, he didn't conform himself to what these people were thinking, as he would say in Romans 12, 1 and 2. If anything, he had the mind of Christ. Or as John would say, he wasn't conformed to this world, or neither the things that are in this world. And we know there are three things that seem to trip man up and has always tripped man up: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. I was talking to Stephen Aiken the other day, and we was talking on the phone, and he said Satan's playbook hadn't changed. That was a good point. It hasn't. It's still the same. He's using the same three things that's still tripping man up today. It tripped man up in the beginning, and it's still tripping us up today. Same playbook. I think he can win a Super Bowl easy. Yes, he can. Well, he's winning a bunch of people even today. So what did Paul do? Look at verse 24. Paul made strong arguments for God's existence. You know, if we're going to deal with the people of our day, we need to know who God is. We need to know that he is the one that created all things and that he is not dwelling in temples made with hands. You can't put your hands on the God of heaven. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, he's spirit. And Jesus would say God is spirit. And we know for a fact that since God is spirit, you can't put your hands on him. You got to know him with your mind, with your heart, with your soul, your will. But look at verse 26. He showed God to be the creator of mankind, made them one blood, equating all men. Now, I know the external may look different, but the inside is still the same. One blood, the face of all the earth. But look at verse 27 and 28. He showed God's interest in mankind. Again, God is desiring for man to come to him. And notice what Paul says, so that they should seek the Lord in hopes that they may or might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Hold on. God wants us to find him? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's not running from us. As a matter of fact, he did more than that. He ran to us by sending his son. And one thing we ought to love God about God, that he's willing to do all that he can to save us. And so what else did he do? Look at verse 30. He showed man. This is Paul preaching to them. He showed man's his responsibility to God and his holiness. Well, what is that responsibility, Brother Brian? Repent. You need to change your way of thinking. You know, there's nothing wrong with repenting. There's nothing wrong with changing your way of thinking. There's nothing wrong with saying I've sinned, I've done wrong, and I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive. In this Acts 17 world, he didn't sugarcoat it. He called it what it was. But notice what he did in verse 31, Evan. He showed them the judgment day is for certain, and he proved it. He gave certainty of it. What certainty did he give? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, mercy. The more I thought about this, in this world that we're living in today, friends, we better know the world we're living in. And again, no wonder Paul would say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Young people, you need this book. You need the words that are in this book. If you think that you can navigate your life without this book, without these words, you're going to find that life is going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And you're going to be right there in this Acts 17 world, and you're going to be in the same boat as them until you wake up and you say, hold on, there's a different way of living this life, and it's according to this book that God gave us. Amen? Friend, God gave us this book. Let's read it. Let's imbibe it. Let's meditate on it. And let's make it part of our lives. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you're very much part of this Acts 17 world. You think like them, you want to be like them, but you're here. But really your mind and your heart somewhere else. Jesus had something to say about that. In vain they worship me. See, we know for a fact that we want to make sure that our bodies and our hearts and our minds and our souls are in one place, and that's right here when we come together. As we stand and as we sing, our Savior is in the kingdom.